The following show contains spoilers for episode 4 of Survivor 46. Hello again.
Hello again.
Hello again.
We're all
Who's that? Again.
I am but a husk of my former self.
The gang's all here.
Sorry.
Is this like literally the first time since the draft episode we've all been on the same episode?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what you mean. I've been here every week.
Yeah, Teeb's been killing it. So, Soaring, I feel like this always ends up happening to you.
Usually later in the season, though.
Playing for the redraft, baby.
It's just unfortunate.
I mean, I have plausible deniability this time in that I allowed somebody who had never watched Survivor before to make my picks.
Sure.
You let your partner pick, right?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
One thing I was going to like get the exact data on, but I'm doing it live. Yeah, basically I was going to say is that this isn't the first time that your first draft pick has gotten medevaced. And I think that's really tragic.
It's
yeah.
True.
I would have to like really go back and look, but I feel like I just have a feeling that you have like the most medevaced players out of any of us. But I don't know what the exact stats on that are. I just think it's really interesting.
What can I say? I pick people who live dangerously.
You had the one dude who fell on the rocks, right? What was his name?
Yeah. Wait, did you have... That was Matthew, right? Did you have him too?
Yeah.
Was that last season or the season before?
I think that was the season before.
Was this the season before 44? No, that was... Oh, it was! Sorry. Wait, that was your first draft pick again? Because I was thinking of Pat from Pat, David versus Goliath. I didn't realize Matthew had also been medevaced. So this is the third time that your first draft pick has been medevaced.
But to be fair, I also had Bruce in 44 who also got medevaced.
That's true. But he was
Bruce
also
has the record for earliest medevac.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, bringing it into episode 4, which has happened this week, I think it's a really strange episode and is really throwing me off as far as like my feelings about this season. Because
I have opinions on how a lot of things happened this episode.
Right. I mean, this is really, and it's kind of the culmination. So like it almost makes sense because we've been building up to it. But this episode is just so Banu focused. It's almost
like
ridiculous.
The last two episodes.
We just spend so much time with Banu and everything else just feels like so superficial. And I was really optimistic at the start of this season, and there still might be room there, but I'm just very curious like why we need to spend so much time with Banu, why he's getting such a focus over any other like fourth boot. If I wonder if it's just because of his like emotional journey.
Yeah, I think it's kind of tied in with his emotional journey, but also because we're in this position with this Yanu tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
the end of this episode, like, I don't know how you don't make it a Yanu or a Banu episode just based on the way that the tribal goes.
Yeah,
and we keep sending this tribe back. They finally got a challenge win, but it wasn't the one they needed.
Yeah. I think really it Banu has been the only interesting aspect, like gameplay-wise, and that's even a stretch to say that it was interesting, but it's the only thing that they could really follow the last two episodes.
He's probably one of the last true hero characters we've had, even though like he's not playing the game so well. Like, he has that hero persona, which we haven't seen a lot in modern Survivor.
That's really interesting you say that. Because I don't necessarily see Banu as a hero, but I get the angle that you are seeing.
I think because of just how they've been spinning their wheels in this, like when Banu has that moment with Kenzie, where Kenzie just tells him like, "I don't want to help you,"
right.
And then later on, Kenzie comes and talks to him. Well, the way he was talking with Kenzie, I was really hoping that he was like actually playing the game, like pulling Kenzie in, you know, to something. And then when Kenzie comes to apologize to him later on, I'm like, oh, she's in the web, you know. Hopefully this is like master plan. And then he's just like, nope, I'm still just Banu. I'm like, I'm just like poking the dead horse with a stick, like, do something.
Yeah, he, I mean, he ended up in a really low place. And I had forgotten too that he didn't have a vote. So when they hit us with that in this episode, it was really just like, yeah, he is at the lowest like possible place you could be in this game.
Yeah. So I mean, I can't actually speak to how this episode opened because I've been sick this week, so I kind of forgot what day it was, and then I was like, oh, I'm 10 minutes late to Survivor.
So. Okay. Well, I think the opening is actually pretty interesting because normally like we'll start the episode with like the aftermath from Tribal, right? But you kind of like have the feeling that, you know, like time has passed in a way, because it's true. They like get on the boat, they drive back, they walk back to the beach and everything. But in this episode, like on the previously on, it's Jeff talking to them in their, like, in their beach hut, and then he walks
away. So
this is
a new lease on life, guys, huh?
And the episode starts with like Jeff walking away, and then it's just like still sunshine evening, and they like start talking. And I thought that was really interesting because we normally don't get that, but it was cool. And it's basically here that like Banu like instantly gives up that he like spilled all the secrets about like the tribe dynamics and everything.
Crazy.
And then people are instantly just like, oh yeah, well, I'm glad we didn't vote Kenzie out, because now Banu was our only person to get out because he just leaked everything. Even Q has just completely given up on him.
Well, at that moment, yeah, but then Q comes back around to kind of tutor him later on.
That's
so true. What exactly did I miss? Where did they find out that he leaked everything?
He told them.
Yeah, he literally was just like, yeah, I should tell you guys that when I was on the journey, I told them that Kenzie's the ringleader. And
and that just Q like, and Tiff are like a tight duo. Basically, he just told everyone on the tribe what he had told Ben and Liz. And then they're like, okay, we just can no longer see a future like working with you. I think
you've blown up our games. We can't trust you with secrets.
Yeah, I think when Q is like doing the coaching too, it's like not necessarily even trying to like make him a better Survivor player. It's just damage control in case like they end up with another tribal. It's like, just do not make my game worse, because they have been put into a tough spot if they do like merge or tribe swap. But I'm really curious what the future of Yanu is kind of looking like here.
I have to imagine we're going to see a merge or a swap.
Well, let's look. Last season, they tribe swapped when the yellow tribe was down to 3, I believe. Who got voted out episode 4 last season? Oh, no, it was Sabia.
Right, so then we ended up doing the tribe swap for...
Oh, no, that was episode 3. Episode 4 was... Yeah, they tribe swapped episode 5 after Sean went home.
Or 4.
So, yeah.
I see Austin flipping to blue at episode 4.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think maybe if we were going to have a swap, maybe we missed that point, but maybe they'll just kind of, like,
Because of Randon going home?
Mm-hmm. Because, really, especially with Banu gone, I just feel like there aren't too many, like, stories left to tell, at least, like, strategically. On this tribe,
I mean,
I think they just get rid of Kenzie next.
Have we ever had like a semi-merge where we've gone from 3 tribes to 2 tribes? I don't think that's ever happened, right?
At least not in the new era. I'm pretty sure it's happened in history, though.
I think we've gone from 2 to 3, but I don't know if we've gone from 3 to 2.
Yeah, I don't think we have gone from 3 to 2.
It would be interesting though, because we are at an even number right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they switch anything up, then, I mean, I think I probably wouldn't mind it. But I think after next episode, we start doing, like, the half-merge stuff anyways. So.
Yeah.
we'll just need to be ready for it, basically. Because we're down to... Wait, are we already down to 12? 12
people? Yeah, we're down to 12.
Oh, so we technically should be, like, redrafting.
Or right no, now. we're at 14.
We're at 14? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, 18 minus 4. I don't know why I was messing that up. Basically, next time two people go home, then we redraft. Because we redrafted 12.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. I did, like, take a couple notes. I don't know. I thought the jumping section was fun, and it was good camp life. But I also feel like it was kind of part of the bigger symptom with, like, Bonu, too. Is like, or not Bonu, but it's, like, the way that tribes keep winning and losing and not going to tribal. They've just kind of, like, run out of things to do. Like, there's a big limit to, like, the strategy and movement going on. Like, on Sega, they're pretty much just, like, all friends other than Jem, who's doing, like, a little chaos with the idol hunt.
Which I don't understand her plan here. Can we talk about that?
Yes.
This is silly. Like, why, Jem? Why do you feel the need to do this?
I mean, it's kind of, like, in a way, achieving what she wants, which is, like, to sort of move the suspicion off of her. Because obviously, like, they're not going to find the idol there. But she has, like, got it thrown on a Tim really well.
But does she reveal this later on in the game? And does that benefit her? Because
I think it's something to hold on to until the final tribal.
If she's at final tribal and being like, well, I hid the beware advantage there.
Made us dig through an anvil.
Yeah, so you made us dig for 20 hours. Thanks, Jem.
I guess ultimately is probably not necessary unless she can, like, maneuver it as a way to get Tim out. But even then, I don't even know if that was a question, because it kind of just seems like the three of them plus Charlie could just get Tim out if they wanted to without it being, like, a big deal. So who knows. I guess, and then, like, that was kind of their segment. On the other hand, we had at NAMI, Tevin, like, sort of trying to one-up Soda because he felt like she was playing too hard. And I think it's interesting that his response to that was, at least from what I kind of saw, I think it worked out for him, but then it seemed like he was suddenly playing too hard. Because he was going to everybody like, hey, let's get Soda out. And Soda was just building relationships. And he's, like, calling her out. And if that gets back to her, like, that's not a good thing to have happened. Especially before they, like, lost immunity or anything.
Yeah. And this might just be, like, inconsequential time filler, honestly. Yeah, because I'm sure that they do this shit every single day on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And have these kind of conversations that we just never see because they don't come to anything.
Right. It was interesting, though, because I thought when they got to the immunity challenge and Tevin sat out, I thought that was him, like, almost kind of trying to, like, throw the challenge so he could vote Soda out. Because I was thinking, like, hey, I was just surprised that he sat it out when it could have been, you know, somebody else, and they would have had a lot more strength. But
I don't think they would have had more strength because, well, who sat out the other challenge? Venus?
Yeah, probably would have had to have been, well, it had to be two of them.
Yeah.
So I think it was, yeah.
Well, no, it would have only been one.
Oh, okay.
Because they're down Randon.
That's right. So, it was either, like, Soda or Liz or Venus, one of them. But I guess it also didn't really matter because once they got to the end of the challenge part, like, you only really needed the one person in the hero spot.
Yeah.
And if you're going to put a person in the hero spot.
And Hunter is a god.
It's going to be Hunter because he just cleans up these challenges.
Oh, my lord. Like, we haven't had a, like, grade A challenge beast like Hunter in quite a while. And I think that... it's kind of risky.
he's very, like,
he's showing off a little too much.
He's very overexposed. Because it's one thing when you're, like, Jonathan, right? And you're this huge guy, super strong, and everyone can see it. It's like, you just can't really hide that at all. But also, there's a limit because it really comes down to, like, if you're strong or like if you need strength, perfect. Otherwise, you know, not necessarily the perfect pick. But Hunter has showed like a lot of prowess in the strength, but also like in the carnival game style, where he's you know, hitting targets, throwing hoops, throwing balls, like everything. He's just been very good at, while also excelling in the physical part. And because he is like, in the last three challenges, like saved his tribe from behind, I just think he's very, very visible to the other teams.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a very large target going into the merge. And that's what scares me. But also it's possible for him to just go on like a complete challenge run.
Yeah. What if he wins every single individual immunity?
Yeah. And like, I wouldn't be surprised at that. But I'm really scared for him because he's just doing too well, and
yeah,
it's like working, but it is like very dangerous.
We'll see how he does it balancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
But he's the anime protagonist.
Yeah, that's true.
Soaring's right.
He's just better than everyone else.
Yeah.
But thinking back, like, that's kind of what... I mean, I guess there's the other... I don't know. We just spend, like, a little fun time at the other tribes, but it's just really all about Yanu and all about just, like... I don't know. To me, this is, like, all bullying Banu. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Even if they're, like, kind of working with him, like, or chatting
with him. It's been that way for, like, three
episodes. It's just very, like... I don't know. They're very demeaning and very, like, rude. Even if they're not always doing it to his face, necessarily. Like, it's just a... They're very clearly showing, like, no respect for the guy. Which I like, you know is what happens when you like you are kind of locked into the social dynamics and like you need to keep a tight group together, but it's not fun to watch.
No, it's like giant sigh of relief after this week though, because this era is over. Mm-hmm. As bad as that sounds,
right?
Like at Banu's expense, the show is going to be better now, I hope.
Uh-huh. And I hope Banu like had an insightful journey that he's able to learn from in one way or another. I think one of my favorite Reddit posts I saw this week was about how the show basically had Banu going through the five stages of grief, like in very deliberate ways. And it was great. Very good. But really, when I watched Banu like get voted out and leave, the like feeling I had was that we had lost like the protagonist of the show in a way. And I'm really like wondering how we're going to sort of pick up from here, just because he's such a central character. Like to me, it almost felt like it's like just like the season's over is how it felt to me. Like Banu's gone and the rest of the game happens, but like, we don't get to see it because we were watching Banu.
I mean, even with the extra size episodes, I feel like I don't really know much about Seiga or Nami, like their tribe dynamics.
It's like,
well, now the door is open for our protagonist Hunter to take center stage.
Right. It's like watching only one person's perspective, or like you having one main person's perspective you're watching in the Mindcrack UHCs. And then they lose. And then you just stop watching the season. Right? And then it's like...
What a deep cut.
And then the season keeps going, but like you're not invested anymore. Like that's almost how I feel. Not that Banu is like my main invested character, but I don't know. It's a strange feeling. So I hope that the season can like pick up from here now that we're not limited to like going over Banu's emotional journey.
Yeah, I feel there are plenty of interesting characters still left to explore, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Venus has an interesting setup so far.
Yeah, she's my favorite, for sure.
I think Jem has an interesting kind of quirky situation she's landed herself in.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tiffany, Kenzie, and Q, because we've seen so much of them, like, how they navigate this situation that Banu has kind of sabotage them for, will be interesting.
Yeah, I would much rather see the three of them make the merge together.
Yeah. Tevin than, like, is just the goat. Down. I love Tevin.
Tevin is fun to watch. But and I also
like
feel like there's a darkness to him.
Yeah, the back and forth between Tevin, Hunter, and Soda are the like wishy-washiness about are they friends, are they not?
Uh-huh.
That's kind of interesting. Liz just kind of navigating this, like, oh, I'm allergic to everything situation, which is, like, funny, but also, like, tragic.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's a character, and I can't wait to see more of him.
Ben's lots of fun to watch. I can only think, since we're going through everyone, like, Charlie continuing
there's a lot of fun characters, I think, this season that we're just not seeing because we're stuck on the Yanu loser train.
I feel like Charlie keeps getting pushed into the Taylor Swift thing. Like, when he's jumping off the platform, he's like, Taylor Swift.
That felt very strange.
I have to wonder if this is, like, one of those lines that they coach them to say.
Well, yeah, if he's, like, if he just wants more TV time, that's, like, just fit into your niche character and just, like, act in character as much as possible and they'll put you on TV more. And it's, like, working for him.
Yeah.
Like how Mari Takahashi couldn't go one sentence without mentioning how much of a gamer she was.
Yeah. CBS is just like, Taylor Swift is the hottest person in the world right now. Do not stop talking about her.
Uh-huh. And this was filmed.
We need our Taylor quota for the day.
This was filmed
Say something, Charlie.
So I think now that she is
just
more relevant.
Yeah, but the Eras Tour was on the go when they were filming this, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I just feel like they can choose what Charlie says. And they're making him say Taylor Swift a lot.
Yeah.
But he's also just saying it a lot. Yeah, I think Maria is put, like, an interesting spot here, too, because she, like, completely falls for, like, Jem's prank.
Yeah.
So.
Which I think is harmless,
mm-hmm.
but also, like, it's just very rude out of Jem. Like, yeah, I'm gonna make them dig for hours on end.
It's a mind game.
We will expend our stamina digging for no reason.
I saw a post from, it was a tweet from somebody from a previous season. Oh, it was Carla. A tweet from Carla from 43. Oh. Where that tree they were digging in was their toilet during that season.
That's crazy.
I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, I guess that happens when you're on the same island over and over.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I noticed was that Banu didn't get any formal votes. He just kind of stepped up, but he also got a hug from Jeff.
Yeah.
And I feel like we don't see a lot of Jeff hugs when someone's going home.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hang on. We can't skip the fact that even though it wasn't like a quasi quit, we didn't vote.
Right.
There was no real vote this episode. Vote.
Yeah, I think I think they kind of just do it when it makes sense for them to do it. Or when it's just a foregone, like, completely unanimous, no question about it.
It was technically possible for him to like, have turned something around. And by not voting, like, it made it impossible for any blindside to actually happen. And I guess, you know, production has an idea. They interviewed these people. But from a viewer perspective, it's like, I mean, you could have turned this around. It was very unlikely, but you could have. But by blocking this, like, if Banu had an idol and nobody else knew, then it's not possible. And once again, I get it. The producers, they probably know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's what I sort of think is what's happening here, is it's like, if there was any sort of possibility of any shakeup, then it probably, you know, be like the signal to Jeff, like, hey, we're going to run it through. But Banu's just completely exhausted, and no one, I think, had any intention of shaking. There was no conversation or anything.
Yeah.
So
I get it. It just feels against the spirit of the game in a way.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a unanimous decision publicly rather than a private vote.
Right, which I understand the producers knew going in that it was going to be unanimous anyways, but, like, from a grander game theory perspective, it made it impossible to blindside or pull an idol.
Well, I mean, I just think if there was a possibility, then they would have run it anyways.
Yeah, and Banu just came out the gate saying that there wasn't a possibility.
And if any, I mean, basically it'd just be like if any of them individually decided to, like, swap their vote to somebody else for some reason. But it was probably unlikely for that to happen unless they, like, start whispering, because if one person changes their vote, then, like, it wouldn't make a difference anyways. But if someone started, if Q started whispering to Tiffany or something, maybe then they, like, vote like normal. Who knows? But they could probably just ask Jeff to, like, hey Jeff, I'd still want to give Banu a full normal vote, because that's what he deserves.
Yeah.
But and that's why I have a problem with it, because then you've kind of like gotten everybody's alarms going. Wait, why are they pushing for us to actually vote?
Because Bonu deserves it. It's part of the experience, Your Honor. But yeah, I feel like it's kind of just the episode. It's just a lot of Bonu. And now he's gone, and I'm okay with that. He definitely had a lot of presence, a very strong impact on the start of the season. And I hope going forward that it means everybody else can kind of shine a little bit more. That this storyline isn't taking up the space anymore.
They're going to name the merge tribe the Bonu tribe.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else in this episode to really talk about?
No, I think we've talked about the interesting bits.
Okay.
Anyway.
See, if Fred was here, this is when he's always like, oh, but you're completely forgetting this entire storyline. But I think we're probably okay. Yeah?
You're forgetting the cutaway bit where Jeff went through the forest and set up the whole challenge by hand.
I mean, during the challenge, when Tevin was on the bench, he was looking under the bench for an advantage.
Interesting.
But which it didn't
I guess
come
wasn't
to anything.
There given they didn't show
it. Yeah.
Like, he almost found it.
Yeah, they also did the thing after the challenge where everyone's like, yeah, Bonnie's going home. Bonnie's going home. Bonnie's going home.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the least amount of time that's been remaining in an episode, other than like a medevac or something, like after the immunity challenge, because it was just very short. And they went to tribal with like 5 minutes up left in the episode or something. All right, well, let's go ahead and turn our eyes towards the spreadsheet we have for the season.
Revamped spreadsheet, new this week.
rngshow.com/46, or you can just quickly get there with the link in the show notes. We've done a little cleaning up between episodes. We've gone and fixed all of the reward points being way too many because they've just been combined as part of the immunity challenge. Not for this episode 4, but 3, 2, and 1. Basically, everybody was just getting more points than they should have, especially me. Then we also went and updated the unit totals page. So that is, correctly showing everyone's totals, which is just completely split up by tribe right now, which is really interesting. But that's kind of just how things have been going. We also clarified like a couple rules here and there. But as far as this episode is concerned, I guess sort of a familiar story here in that Soaring starts us off with 17 points. Team is dwindling. Ooh. Now that Randon and Jess are gone, and it's going to be an even tougher climb now that Bonu's gone. Thankfully, the redraft is right around the corner. So you really are just getting challenge points here, and that brings you to 17 for this episode. I guess everybody only got challenge points this episode. There's not a lot else going on.
No.
Teeb is brought up to 23 points with his team, and I get 24 because I am continued to be carried by the Nami tribe. They're just putting in a lot of work.
True.
So our new adjusted totals, now that we've gone through everything, which I think they're actually somewhat similar to what they were last episode, but this is what they are for real, for real. Soaring is at 74 points. Teeb is at 91 points. And I am, again, at a flat 100 points. So a decent little gap there. But nothing that can't be saved by a redraft. Or just by, like, me getting less points. Like, if Nami just starts losing challenges, then, there we go. But at this rate, I don't know, unless Hunter just decides to stop trying to like lower his threat level, I'd be very surprised if Nami is like not able to get at least second in every challenge.
Hunter's about to throw, making my Nami will throw a challenge prediction accurate.
That would be the way to do it. But like Sega seems very strong too. And I don't know, it would definitely be strange, I think, if Yanu lost the next two challenges, but that's kind of the pattern they've been showing us too, is like, you know, Q did well in the reward challenge for sure, but he's definitely not like as clutch, I think, as this tribe needs to like keep winning the challenges. So we'll see what happens. But I don't know how good I feel about their chances. That being said, yeah. Do we have any?
I don't know. The challenge will just be three players this week, right? Unless we do some like tribe swapping. That'll be weird.
Uh-huh. I guess maybe they just need to have Hunter sit out eventually, and that's when they
Seago will sit out three people.
Uh-huh. That's wild. Ugh. All right, well, any trades? Soaring?
I have nothing to offer. I know where I'm at.
I see. I would almost consider trading Tim and Soto. But I don't know if you want to do that.
No, I don't feel like I have any read on Tim. At least I know Soda's doing stuff.
Got it. All right. Well, I'll probably hold on to everybody else I got. And Teeb, even though you have less points, you definitely have a very high level of stability, I think.
Yeah, I dig it.
That was one thing I think Fred nailed, was like, your team just is not going anywhere. Unless Yanni loses again, then you're probably losing Kenzie.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. All right, well, I think that's pretty much it then. I am kind of
unless Tiffany plays the idol on Kenzie and sends Q home.
She wouldn't have to do that though, because she would just tell Kenzie that they're voting Q out.
That's true. That's very true. I forgot how stupid three player votes are.
Right. It's literally, yeah, it's just whoever has the stronger pair. Wins.
It's just so it like is Tiffany's poker. Choice.
So Tiffany is in like the right place.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Hopefully, we don't get that vote next week.
Yeah, I think it's definitely time for somebody else to go tribal. But if Nami and Seago keep getting me points, then like I'm not gonna complain either. But it definitely is like making the season suffer in terms of quality. So I'm hoping for a better TV show. That's really what I want. Now that's like awful. But we're really feeling the consequences of the snowball here. All right. Well, that pretty much just wraps it up for us then this week. If you want to go check out any of our other episodes, starting with the draft this season or any of the other seasons in the past, you can do those all over at rngshow.com. Thank you so much to Zoe for editing this episode. Thanks to Subtext for the use of our theme song, Step Up. If you want to go see the spreadsheet that has all of our rules, our points, our unit totals, everything, our initial draft order, that's over at rngshow.com/46, or you can just click the link in the show notes. And we will be back in a week's time, maybe all three of us, maybe none of us, to talk about episode 5. We still have not had an episode in this Survivor era of RNG show where it's just one person. I almost thought I was gonna have to do it at one point, but then Soaring showed up, so we got a duo. But I imagine at one point in time there will be like a 10 minute solo episode from me just knocking out an episode real quick.
What's up, gamers? Today we're gonna talk all about
me and you did episode 1, just the two of us.
Yeah. We'll see. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.